Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 78. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don Coulterman delivered this message in the Practical Strategies for Victorious Living series on June 2nd, 2019.
Authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I mean, there are consequences. If you follow and watch what is going on in our country today, you know, keep these words in mind. May they not be just hollow words, okay? It goes on, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, at least not normally, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant and agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And you see how that is so well carried out in our country these days, right? And then it calls also to my mind in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, everyone say my people.
My people.
Okay, and God is talking. So if my people, so these are words to us, okay? Not to just someone driving by in the street. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, my people turn from their wicked ways? That couldn't be us. My people turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Our land needs healing.
Yes. Amen.
Our land needs healing. Amen. And so as this has been declared as a special day of prayer for the president and this current administration, let's take a moment even now to pray. And you see, even as we pray for the top position, I believe prayer is so important for those that surround the president. Okay? Because if you remember in Old Testament Israel, after Solomon died, his son Rehoboam inquired, you know, what they should do. First, he went to the associates of his father, and they gave a particular recommendation. Then he went to his peers, and they gave a different one, which he followed. A wrong choice. It led to the division of the country. So you see, who you listen to is very, very important. And I believe even how you pray is very important. Our message today is, do not give the devil a foothold, and we will go into that in a moment. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for you are so good, and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Father, for your unfailing love and your great compassion. We thank you, Father, that you raise up rulers and you depose rulers. We thank you that you are Lord Almighty, You are over everything. So we pray this day particularly for President Trump, his administration, the leaders that he has called around him to give advice. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you continue to go over the leadership of our country. Particularly, we are praying on the federal level, but we remember also for state and city, but on the federal level, that as you raise up rulers and you depose them, your word declares that you resist the devil a foothold.
Amen.
You have the scripture passage printed in your little flyer that you received today. Ephesians 4, verse 27. It is a very short verse. That's the whole verse, with the exception of one word. That's the ellipsis there. Do not give the devil a foothold.
Amen.
And I believe in that respect that this message will still be applicable to our theme that has been ongoing for some several weeks, that of practical strategies for victorious living. And I believe not giving the devil a foothold is a practical strategy for victorious living. And so just a prayer of the message we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may come to know you better, that you would open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding that we may be enlightened and come to know evermore your incomparably great power for us who believe. We are living in some very challenging times. What the Bible refers to as the last days or later times. In 2 Timothy 3, so that you should not be surprised, and as you read your Bible from one end to the other, in 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1, we read these words, but mark this, okay? So that's permission to mark in your Bible, okay? Okay? But mark this. And so that's giving it increased emphasis. You understand that? Okay? When you highlight, you've given that some emphasis. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Praise God. Aren't you glad those days are here upon us? It goes on to describe what you can experience or expect. People will be lovers of themselves. And there's a listing of some several behavioral qualities here. I've many times found in the Bible, as you find a listing of items, it's not only important as to what items are included in the list, but many times also the order within which they are listed. So if there will be terrible times in the last days, do you find this a bit descriptive of our time? People will be lovers of themselves?
Yeah.
Lovers of money? Surely not. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, without self-control, without self-control. You see, many don't have any fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Galatians 5, you remember. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and a self-control. These are listed in contrast with the verses before that describe, but the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and there's a list there also. The acts of the sinful nature are those acts that you do naturally. You don't have to be taught those. The fruit of the Spirit is given by the Holy Spirit. Okay? It goes on. Without self-control in these last days, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then Paul even includes verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Are these pretty strong words? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, you're very close there. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. It says they will abandon the faith. So they must have had faith. You can't abandon a house that you have not been in, can you? Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Verse 2, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So you see our title, Do Not Give the Devil a Foothold. Another term for devil is demon. And there are many. Yeah, and so the headlines in our paper from yesterday, yeah, they missed the prayer, the National Day of Prayer. Virginia Beach gunman kills 12. A longtime city employee opened fire in a municipal building in Virginia Beach on Friday, killing 12 people on 3 floors and sending terrified co-workers scrambling for cover before police shot and killed him following a long gun battle, authorities said. Another headline, and we're just looking at the front page. Arrest made in slaying of a young mom. 20 years old. Oh, there's an interesting one toward the bottom. It's still made the front page. Experts talk about risks at city houses of worship. Religious bias crimes in the United States increased more than 50%. Since 2013, from just over 1,000 to nearly 1,600 in 2017. The biggest jump was from 2016 to 2017, about 17%, which is why local houses of worship are paying attention and arming themselves as they bow their heads to pray, according to Fort Wayne Deputy Chief James Fiesel. At the moment, we really don't see any issues of hate orders or crimes in Fort Wayne, and the article goes on. And we could look at more parts of the paper. Polygraph taken in a child's death. Whitley babysitter accused of causing fatal injuries to a girl age 1. We are living in terrible times. Now, most of the individuals committing these atrocities, I don't believe just woke up one morning and decided to commit these acts. Not most of them. Most of them progressively gave the devil a foothold. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4 now. And actually, you know, the key verse is contained within this portion of Scripture, but I would like to begin in verse 17. Because I believe that you will find couched within these verses some behavioral things, if you do them, will give the devil a foothold. You will also see some things listed in these verses, if you do them, will help you not give the devil a foothold. Because see, now in your little flyer, in the observation portion, it says, what do you believe is the major act or failure or weakness that gives the devil a foothold for most people? You know, we will look at some. You see, the devil has been around quite a long time. I mean, he was in the Garden of Eden, right? He's had a long time to practice what he does. He's been quite effective. But you see, even as we say that, we many times think of Satan, right? And that's true, okay? You see, there are two supernatural forces in the world today. One is Almighty God. The other is Satan. So to do things beyond your ordinary means, you can be drawing upon one supernatural power or the other. There are only two. Okay? So we read, beginning with verse 17 in Ephesians 4. So I tell you this, and I'm reminded that the Apostle Paul had encouraged the young man Timothy in the public reading of the Scriptures. So we will have some public reading of the Scriptures here, okay? You will indulge me, okay? Because we do have a portion of Scripture I also want to look through, which will deal particularly with a lying spirit, that is a type of demon, okay? That is, I believe, kind of an interesting scripture, portion of scripture in the Old Testament. But we begin at verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. See, it starts there. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in their hearts. And you could read more about this in Romans chapter 1, where it makes a similar statement, I think, even three times. Having lost, verse 19, all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. Everyone say former way of life.
Former way of life.
Former means what you did before, right? You are not doing that now.
Right.
Okay? We hope you are not doing that now.
Amen.
You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, created to be like God. See, so you see some solutions to not giving the devil a foothold woven into things not to do that give the devil a foothold. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, and speak truthfully. That's the opposite of a liar. Okay? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. You remember what James says in his book. He says, brothers, everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger and a woman's anger is even worse. Okay. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Okay? Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. None of us ever does that, right?
Amen.
And verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. This is our key. Because if you are doing some of these things, you are giving the devil a foothold, and you will see some additional things. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, because it gives the devil a foothold. It goes on, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. It gives the devil a foothold. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. A desirable behavior. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And even as you should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, there is a scripture that says also, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. We go on. With whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, that's by the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness gives the devil a foothold. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all brawling. Get rid of all slander. 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 I'm hoping that the leaders in our country are listening to our podcast, maybe. Okay? Along with every form of malice. Now, be kind and compassionate to one another. That helps not give the devil a foothold.
Amen.
Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
Yes, amen.
Really, really important. Because if you can't do that, you want to be sure that you stop praying the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if I'm not willing to forgive, I am telling God, if I'm praying that, don't bother forgiving me, God. I don't want it. I don't need it. Chapter 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, you can't be an imitator of God. You cannot love it like God loves unless you have accepted Jesus as Lord, because that's how you become born again. And so if you are a born-again person, okay, don't expect someone who has not accepted Jesus as Lord to love you to the degree that you're able to love them. Not possible. You will save yourself some frustration if you understand that. That's why relationships are so important, that we can even have in our smaller groups as we develop relationship. To love one another and they can reciprocate that same degree of love. Verse 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. There must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, and you'll see how they're described even further. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. They give the devil a foothold. But rather thanksgiving, for this you can be sure. Please notice this verse. Kind of interesting. No immoral, impure, and that which is impure is mixed with extraneous matter, right? Especially of an inferior or contaminating nature. That's impurities. Okay? No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We should be extraordinarily different. Have any of you ever been down in a deep cavern where they turn off the lights and you can wave your hand like this and not see it? And someone can light just a cigarette lighter or a match and it dispels the darkness? We should be dispellers of darkness, right? Okay. Live as children of light, verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Have nothing to do with them, but rather expose them. So it is proper for us, I believe, to pray that the evil in our country be exposed.
Amen.
Okay? For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Oh yeah, we said that at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, you see, he just penned this yesterday. No. Okay. But the days are evil.
Yes.
Therefore, do not be foolish. Verse 17, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. See, that's one of the things listed in Galatians 5. That's an act of the sinful nature, debauchery. You don't do that, right? Well, the definition of debauchery, I see some sort of puzzled looks out there a little. The definition is dissipation. Okay, now you understand it. And the definition of dissipation is the overindulgence of pleasure to the point of harming oneself. We never do that, particularly at Thanksgiving time, and get up from the table and say, I really don't feel good. That's because the food was so bad on the table. Or could have it been the overindulgence of pleasure to the point of harming oneself? And you see, that can take on various avenues, right? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's what makes me excited to be a part of my Father's house.
Yes, amen.
A Spirit-filled church.
Amen.
Teach concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said he will endue you with power from on high. He will call to your remembrance the things that Jesus has said. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. He will call to those to your remembrance things that you have studied in the Word of God. And he endues you with power from on high, which helps us in overcoming the devil, right?
Amen.
So be filled with the Spirit. Seek it. Don't stop till you receive it.
Amen.
Then speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Salakirato si pioto. La sola si de to koholahi. Yalata toho la si de toholahi. Lasiato. Even with spiritual songs.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, so I trust that going through these verses, you have seen some things that will give the devil a foothold. And you have seen some behaviors, some things to do so that we don't give him a foothold. You see, many people are not aware of the devil's schemes. And even some that are aware of his schemes haven't put on the full armor of God. And this brings us to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes, beginning with verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's something you should do.
Amen.
Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. You notice that there were several categories or kinds of demons. That's something to be aware of. A demon has one particular quality. And as you read in the New Testament particularly, but you will see referred to in the Old Testament, you can come across quite a variety of different kinds of demons. The little boy that was brought to Jesus had a deaf and mute spirit. And the father even described that oftentimes it will throw him into the water or fire to destroy him. I would even refer to that as a demon of suicide. You see, acts that are not natural are either prompted by God or by the devil. Suicide is not prompted by God. therefore it is demonic. And when Jesus cast the demon spirit out of the young boy, he could now both speak and hear. Now, by this, I am not saying that every deaf person or every person that cannot speak is demon-possessed. Don't make that mistake, okay? But there are some that can be, obviously, that Scripture attests to that. Most people, if they're thinking about demonic power, think of maybe Dahmer of some years ago, you know. The story was quite extraordinary. Or Charles Bundy or Charles Manson. Yeah? But you see, what about the woman that had the spirit of infirmity? Her only problem was that her face was right at the ground when she walked. She couldn't straighten up. And I believe that the Bible says that she had had this spirit of infirmity some 18 years. And that when Jesus cast that demon out, she immediately straightened up. So I just want you to understand there are different kinds of demons out there. And we could go on and on and on. But they only gave me a limited amount of time with this message. I mean, I've got another file folder over there. We could, if you had brought your lunch, we could go till supper time. I'm enjoying this. I trust it is ministering beneficial information to you. But so there are several categories of demons, only two competing powers, Almighty God and Satan. But you see, we are either children of God or we are children of the devil. We are either children of God or we are children of the devil. There's no purgatory power, someplace in between.
Nope.
Okay? You see, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Do you see the extraordinary difference? I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What, even a baby that has just been born? And the Virginia governor explained that we'll keep the baby comfortable in the bill that they were proposing. And then let the doctor and the mother decide what to do with this baby that's lying there. We have more of a problem separating children from families at the border for their protection while the adults are in custody. We have more problem with that than we have taking the lives of babies. And some people won't even discuss it. It's something to boycott over or whatever. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 41. You are doing the works of your own father. Jesus was speaking to some Jews at that moment. And their response to him was, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? And he answers it, because you are unable to hear what I say. Verse 44, he goes on to say, Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Do you see these descriptions of Satan? Okay, the devil that he is referring to. And the devil has some help. You see, God depends on his work to be done in this earth through you and me. The devil depends on his work to be done through people also. But remember, Ephesians 6 says, we war not against flesh and blood or people, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why you have to put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand in that evil day, and having done all, then to stand. Amen. He goes on in verse 45, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin if I am telling the truth? Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Do not be deceived by the devil. One of his greatest tools is lies. In 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 9, we read these words. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of powers through signs and wonders that serve the lie. If you're following signs and wonders, you may be following the wrong thing. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says, many will say to me on that day, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. So if you look at Mark 16, which gives us the instruction to go into all the world and preach the gospel or good news to all creatures or everyone, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And it goes on to say in the very next verse, beginning with the word and is a conjunction that combines the command that's just been given with the verse that is to follow, which we all remember, right?
Yep. By faith.
I grew up attending a Christian day school for most of my first eight years. But I never had to memorize the next verse. It was not taught in the denomination that I grew up in. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say these signs shall follow only a past apostles. It doesn't say these signs shall follow pastors. It doesn't say these signs shall follow evangelists. These signs shall follow them that believe. Yeah. And when you see shall in the English from the Greek, it will most definitely come to pass. These signs shall follow them that believe. The very first thing, what? They shall cast out devils. They shall cast out devils. You don't have to fear them. Cast them out. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. Yeah, they shall speak new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall take up serpents with their hands. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And verse 20 tells us, and they preached the word of God everywhere. That's what he commanded, right? And the Lord worked with them, and he confirmed his word with the signs following. Amen. What, they cast out devils. They spoke in tongues. Yes. They laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. Yes. You see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
So the devil even will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. So that's why I say you have to be careful. Verse 10, this is in 2 Thessalonians 2. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. We have many people who are not interested in truth. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. I've repeated that several times, right? That's going to, I want you to remember that as we get into 1 Kings 22 in a little bit. But you will see there's reference made to that in Romans 1 as well. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Though as mentioned earlier, there are kinds and categories of demons. Jesus referred to Satan as the father of lies. And I believe that if you follow any news events in our country, that you may agree a lying spirit or demon or demons is or are very active in our country today. The book of Revelation also gives the final destination of liars. In Revelation 21 and just verses 6 to 8, but it makes reference to the lake of fire.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it includes a few others besides liars, but verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And in Revelation 2:14-15, it makes reference to outside, that's outside the New Jerusalem, are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Everyone who practices falsehood would be a liar too, right? 1 Kings 22, please. And as we're turning here, Santos, about how much time do we still have, please? Okay. 1 Kings chapter 22. For 3 years, we'll begin with verse 1. This is the public reading of Scripture Day, okay? For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. See, this was after the country was divided into Judah and Israel, right? Jehoshaphat, basically a godly king, the king of Israel, not so godly. In fact, in verse 25 of chapter 21, which, since it's very close, it says, there was never a man like Ahab. He was the king of Israel, who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites, and the Lord drove out before Israel. But so now we have, for 3 years there was no war, okay? So Jehoshaphat goes to visit Ahab. See, and there was some relationship by marriage, and that was not a good alliance either, okay? But the king of Israel had said to his officials, don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead, which is the name of a city, don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram? He said that to his officials. So he asked Jehoshaphat, his visitor, his king in, you know, not the came from China, you know, or, yeah, okay. He asked Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. You see, this was still all, they were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Both Ahab and Jehoshaphat. So you understand how he's making the statement. But Jehoshaphat had something else on his mind. Verse 5. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. First seek the counsel of the Lord. If you're in doubt about doing something so that you don't give the devil a foothold, it can be good to first inquire of the Lord. Okay? So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, all two or three of them. Oh, some of you are really following along? Oh. About 400 men. He got together 400 men. He's going to really get an accurate poll, right? I mean, if you've got 400 prophets, surely your poll percentage should be able to give you reliable determination what to do, right? Well, let's see. About 400 men, and he asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. 400 prophets said, go. God will give you the victory. But Jehoshaphat asked, you know, he was kind of, you know, he must have been on a different news channel, you know. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? He wasn't satisfied with 400. How many polls do you need? CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, huh? Isn't there one here? Verse 8, notice the king of Israel, Ahab, answered Jehoshaphat, verse 8. There is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imla. Yeah, you remember him, right? So one guy, there's one guy, Micaiah, son of Imla. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. You know, so Jehoshaphat reprimanded Ahab a bit. Verse 9, so the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imla, at once. Verse 10, dressed in the royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. That was the main city there, okay? With all the prophets prophesying before them. So all 400 are still there, right? Now Zedekiah, son of Kenana, had made iron horns, and he declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. So he even had a symbol to help make his point. Okay? All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. All of them were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. Now, verse 13. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, he had a message for him. He was a messenger. Look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. You don't want to get the guy mad. So you've got to say the same thing. But Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. Oh, well, that sounds good, right? When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And his response is, attack and be victorious. He answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. Now we have 401. The poll is 100%. Oh, but let's see how. Verse 16. That didn't satisfy Ahab either. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So he must have either caught how he said that or whatever. So now he's all about the truth. Then Micaiah answered. So when he was now given this directive, I want the truth. We have a vision into heaven. To me, this is an extraordinary part of the story. Okay? Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. He had seen this in his vision. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. That's what he actually saw. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? So he's got this host on his right and on his left. And isn't it neat when the Bible gives us questions that God asks? You know, just like in Malachi 3, will a man rob God? And he answers his own question. Yet you rob me in tithes and offerings, you know, and the scripture goes on. So here we have, and the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? Because it had already been prophesied that Ahab would die because of his wickedness. One suggested this and another suggested that. Verse 21, finally a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all of his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. Do you see the ability of one lying spirit or demon? Would be a lying spirit in the mouths of all of the prophets. That's why they said to a man the same thing. Have you ever watched some news reports, some of which provide statements by a half a dozen or more individuals, and all of the individuals use almost identically the same words? Huh? 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 I'm just trying to bring the reality of Bible into where we are living today and to help you understand some things. And so there is such a thing as a lying spirit. And that's why they will stay on that again and again and again, and they will have others saying the same thing. And so if enough people say it, and enough people say it multiple times, people begin believing it. Watch the polls. So now the Lord, goes on verse 23, has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, this was the other guy that had the horns, right? Son of Kenana went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. See, it's not good. I mean, sometimes you say the truth to people, their response may not always be very good, huh? He slapped him in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you? He asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if. That's such an extraordinary word throughout the Bible. If. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. He was that confident of what he told the king. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. So he did that in the presence of witnesses. He had that boldness like you and I have every day, right? To speak the truth. Slapped in the face or no, we speak the truth. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear the royal robes. Maybe there was something that Micaiah said that he's having second thoughts a little bit. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram, that's the enemy, had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel, so they turned to attack him. It's always good to visit a relative like you, huh? That puts you in this kind of a predicament. So they turned to attack him, but when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. Now, interestingly, verse 34. But someone, you know, some unnamed source, okay, someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long, the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. As the sun was setting, a cry spread through the army, every man to his town, everyone to his land. That's what they should have done to begin with. But they listened to 400 instead of the one man who had the truth. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him there. They washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed. And the dogs licked up his blood as the word of the Lord had declared. as for the other events of Ahab's reign, including all that he did, you know, and it goes on. But I hope that this story, and we have a little bit more to go here, if we have a little bit more time to go on. No. Okay. Keep in mind then, just in closing then, Acts 10:38, and that's when Peter was in the household of Cornelius. He talked about how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So you see, we have victory. You know, Jesus, 1 John 4, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We saw that. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And so please keep that in mind as well. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And so if we've already given the devil a foothold, you know, some things we can do, we could stop doing wrong. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help things that you may be struggling with. 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We could repent. And repent is not just saying sorry. Repent is to change. Yes. To change and turn about. And we can remember that Jesus is the way. Amen. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, it talks about, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we are not without tools. But I hope that this message today has given you a little bit of a sense of how to not give the devil a foothold, and some things to do that will prevent him from getting a foothold. Some things to do, some things not to do. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you in overcoming. Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just ask, as James encourages us, to be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so for this we believe you, and we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow, and slow to become angry. You see, the next time you get really angry, okay, and you really vent on the person that you're angry with, the very next thing before you part company that you should do is invite them to church your next Sunday. It got quiet in here now. Quick to listen. You see, now that I've got your attention, we can go into part two of the message, and that deals with... and that deals with Samson, Judas, and King Saul. We didn't have a chance to get to them. I mean, just to mention those three names, so just a short comment. Samson, Judas, and King Saul. They were all men chosen by God, called by God, had the Holy Spirit, but they gave the devil a foothold. One of the saddest verses in Scripture to me is in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 20, when after some multiple times, Samson awoke and he thought, I will get up and set myself free as I've done in the past. And that verse states, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. All three of those men have kind of a sad story, but it's another whole, probably another whole teaching. But I would like to close with the words in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, where we read that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know, and so even in our opening prayer, when we pray that we would come to know his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power Peter describes as his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Verse 4, through these he has given us his very precious, great and precious promises, so that through them you may partake in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith, and keep in mind these things, to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, it's not good enough just to have them, according to Peter. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, that's these qualities in increasing measure, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. You will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would like to conclude on that kind of a note, okay? So please keep those words in mind as well. And so we thank you, Father, again for your word. And help us to be obedient followers of your word so that we are not deceived and so that we do not give the devil a foothold in our lives. And therefore, we will live more victorious lives in the days ahead. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.